The clean water crisis disproportionately affects women. Oftentimes it's seen as a like domestic duty responsibility. And so the lengths to walk, the danger they might face on those lengths, the impact on their education, impact on the income of the household. Very, very special to see like all of these women really creating like a solution together for their communities.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Minimalist Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Carney, and I'm an outdoor and environmental writer and author of the book, Outdoor Minimalist, Wasteless Hiking, Camping, and Backpacking. The Outdoor Minimalist Podcast has the goal to give listeners actionable ways to wasteless hiking, camping, backpacking, and more during every step of their process. Your impact outdoors starts long before you hit the trail and goes beyond leave no trace ethics. You'll learn how to identify sustainable outdoor brands, how to ask hard questions regarding sustainability, and begin to shift and evolve your mindset to integrate minimalism into all of your outdoor pursuits. In episode 128 of the Outdoor Minimalist Podcast, I had a chance to sit down and chat all things Sawyer Clean Water Projects with Katie Houston. Sawyer is a pioneering water filtration company with a rich history spanning over three decades, dedicated to providing innovative solutions for clean water access worldwide. Established in 1984, Sawyer has continuously evolved its product line, offering a range of advanced filtration systems designed for outdoor adventures, emergency preparedness, and humanitarian aid. From portable water bottles to high-flow gravity systems, Sawyer's commitment to quality and sustainability has made it a trusted name in ensuring safe drinking water in any environment. Katie Oates Houston has called the Southern Appalachians her home most of her life, from the times of sleeping in her treehouse to earning an earth science degree from UNC Asheville. Into a deep dive into the hiking community via the Appalachian Trail Thru Hike in 2019, she pivoted her future to meet her passion and started working freelance in the outdoor industry. Now she's living her dream and managing Sawyer Products' stellar community and learning more about their incredible support of clean water projects around the world.
Thanks for joining me on the Outdoor Minimalist Podcast today, Katie. I am interested to learn more about your individual background, but also your work with Sawyer and all of their efforts to provide better access to clean water around the world. But before we get to that, I will ask my standard first question for every guest, which is, how did you become interested in outdoor recreation and how does it fit into your life now?
That's a wonderful question. When I was a kid, I was in a nonprofit organization that was aimed at getting kids accessibility to the outdoors. So once a month, we would go on an overnight camping trip or a caving trip or a canoeing trip, or we really spanned all of the recreations. And the one that really stuck with me was every trip we did on the Appalachian Trail. And I'm from the Southern Appalachians. And so as I was growing up in Asheville and I went to UNC Asheville and got a degree in earth science, I kind of always had this goal of doing a thru hike of the AT. So in 2019, that's what I did. And I realized I got to pivot my entire life to do this instead because how it makes me feel. As far as like how it's fitting into my life right now, like I love the solitude of the outdoors. I love being able to process emotions on my own time, at my own pace, in my own way. I really love the community and the message behind Hike Your Own Hike. There's support there if you want it and value your own process and your own decisions. I'm just having a blast navigating all of these intricacies of the community.
That's awesome. And are you still based in North Carolina then?
I am. Yeah. I moved back to North Carolina from Austin last year, and I'm now living with two of my best friends in Charlotte.
That's wonderful. I love having roommates. Sometimes it like kind of helps bolster that community, I guess.
Absolutely. We had a game night this week that I won my first time playing this silly dragon game, Worms Fan. And it has been the high of my week. I've just been very stoked recently.
That's awesome. What brought you to working in the outdoor industry then? Was that your journey on the Appalachian Trail, or did you always kind of have a desire to work with an outdoor industry company?
So the desire didn't start at all until after the AT, and I got back home and I realized, oh, I've really got to figure out how to do this. I started just writing freelance. I would reach out to small outdoor gear companies online and see if they wanted something for their blog, and I'd pitch an idea. My first publication was bouncing back from injury because I was off trail for 3 weeks with Achilles tendonitis on the AT, and that was a huge bummer. And it was also really enlightening, and for me to write about it and process it after the fact, it really helped me appreciate what I learned, which is listening to your body. And people from the community reached out and said, I read this article. It really resonated. So I really loved that. And I just kept kind of acquiring clients. I started doing social media for The Trek, which is an online long distance backpacking platform. And I did that for about 3 years. And Zach Davis, he's the host of Backpacker Radio too. He actually is the one who recommended me for Sawyer. So the networking was truly invaluable. And the more I did it, because the first 2 years really after the AT or 3 years, I was working other full-time jobs, or it was COVID. And so I wasn't able to. And it was always just kind of something on the side. And at the beginning of last year or year before 2022, I decided to give myself like one calendar year to get it together and make comfortable living doing this that I could see, you know, continuing in this industry. And I just kind of fell into this position with Sawyer. That's literally my dream job.
That's amazing. I love when that sort of thing happens. And yeah, as a writer myself, the networking is like, that's how it's done. That's how you find the right places to be and the right people to work with. So I'm just really glad that you found that path. I mean, most people listening that backpack are probably going to be aware of who Sawyer is and what Sawyer is. But for anyone listening that isn't sure, do you mind just explaining a little bit about Sawyer and also about your role?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sawyer Products is based in Safety Harbor, is where their factory is. It's a family-owned business. It was founded in 1984. So we're celebrating 40 years this year. Woohoo! We make insect repellents and water filters. A lot of times at in-person festivals, I get people knowing one or the other, like our permethrin or our squeeze, but connecting the dots that it's the same company is always pretty fun. But the main, like, I guess, mission behind the products is taking down barriers that keep people from enjoying the outdoors. So somebody not knowing how to filter their water or thinking that they need to carry all of their water when they might have a water source at the campsite they're going to, or it being so easy as a 3 ounce attachment to a water bottle is really accessible for folks, like knowledge wise and physically. And with bug repellent, it's really important because of tick-borne illnesses on the rise. And of course, just like general comfortability. I started the AT without any bug repellent and using iodine. So after a couple of weeks, I learned who Sawyer was and have never gone back. You asked what's my role with Sawyer. So I got brought on as the hiking slash lifestyle community manager. Basically, I do all things community, which is a huge umbrella, but it involves the Sawyer blog, our Sawyer squad, which is all of our contributors, our freelancers and passionate enthusiasts that we meet. I run our social media channels, our Instagram and the foundation's Facebook page and those kinds of things. I've had a lot of freedom with this position, and Sawyer has nothing but encouraged me to make it my own and take on, I would say, personal passion projects almost. We're supporting the Carolina Mountain Club last year and this year, which is my local trail maintaining club. And actually on Monday, I'm going to the Artlobe Trail to help out with a work day. But I started last February, so I'm just past a year, and I feel like I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a minute to kind of settle in and get your groove and know really, like, what are the things that I should prioritize?
Totally. Yeah. And Sawyer had this huge thing I was not aware of at all, or I didn't have any experience with, which is clean water work internationally. And that was something even outside of the outdoor enthusiasm world. Like, I know everything about through hiking, but that was so much knowledge to soak up, and I'm continuing to soak up. There's so much information and stuff to know. And the more I learn, the more enthused I am about the job I have.
Yeah. And I mean, as someone who's used Sawyer products, both the insect repellent and the water filters, before I connected with you, I really didn't know that much about the clean water, like efforts that Sawyer had in place or like what they were doing and working on that. So it's going to be very interesting to learn a little bit more about that in this discussion. So I guess to kind of like start that off, do you mind just talking about like what some of the clean water projects Sawyer is involved in are and how it works organizationally?
Totally. So Sawyer started clean water efforts projects internationally with charity partners back in 2008. So this is our 16th year, sorry. And we started with two charity partners, Give Clean Water and at the time Water with Blessings, but they changed their name this year to Water by Women. And they're still two of our largest charity partners. Miranda Webster got to go on a trip with Water by Women to Honduras early last year, had some beautiful stories to tell from that. But what started 16 years ago with these two charity partners has grown into 140 charity partners over 80 countries. In addition to just providing the actual filter, the thing that gets the job done, Sawyer and our charity partners provide training. It's usually locals, like in Kibera right now, I think 98% of their team doing the work in the slum in Nairobi is from Kibera, which is very, very cool. But we provide training, provide filter maintenance, and wash best practices. That's water sanitation and hygiene. So teaching people how to wash their hands and the importance of it. The goal is to develop habits that inspire behavior change. So like the hand washing and the back flushing your filter every day, because they're using it every day. Those are kind of the big goals of the training and maintenance. And best practice is 2 weeks after the filters are distributed, somebody receives a filter, we do an in-home visit to see if they're using it, if they're back flushing it, because you can see you go back flush it if a bunch of dirt comes out, you know. And we track things like health outcomes and lots of data and making sure that what we're doing is sustainable and actually addressing the problem. So best practice is 2 week and 8 week follow-ups after we do a distribution. But I say we, and I truly mean the charity partners. Sawyer, like we make the filter. That is what Sawyer does. We also donate 90% of profits to all of this clean water work. So when I talk about the research that's going on, or sometimes we do make large product donations or large monetary donations, depending on the country and their needs and what our charity partner has available, like logistically, truly. Every project is unique, but that's kind of the high level.
Yeah, no, that's a great summary. It's interesting. Access to clean water is a big issue across the world, and including areas of the United States. And so I'm assuming that's why Sawyer felt the need to start this project. But was there like a specific incident that occurred that was like 16 years ago, like we need to be doing something about this?
Yeah. So something that was really easy for us to sink our teeth into was the UN sustainability goal number 6. They have 9 of them, I believe. But number 6 is water, all things water. It addresses the worst case scenario, which is people consuming contaminated water and having health issues because of that, or the water source is far away from them. And that's considered not accessible or not easily accessible. And the ultimate goal is to have safely managed and sustainable systems for people. I believe our goal for accessibility wise is 15 minutes one way to a water source, and then taking the water back to their homes and being able to filter it there. Sawyer also kind of, they have these 3 categories for their international work. They have the transformational, which is kind of what I've been talking about. That's like in communities, long-term projects, incredibly impactful. Disaster relief, which here in the United States is much more relevant. If a hurricane comes in or an earthquake, we provide filters to Team Rubicon, the Red Cross. We have a lot of charity partners we're thankful to help distribute in times of need. And refugee camps is the other one. My main work is with the transformational that I know about, at least. But the places that Sawyer can make the most difference is where the people are getting water from a source that is contaminated with bacteria as the issue. That's not always the case.
Adventuring plans on your calendar? Remember to grab your Lava Linens travel towel on your way out the door. Founded by a mother-daughter team, Lava Linens crafts durable, luxurious travel towels as a more sustainable and better performing alternative to microfiber and cotton towels. powered by flax, hemp, and Tencel. They're designed to be by your side for years to come. Use the code OutdoorMinimalist for 15% off your next order.
You touched a little bit on some of the challenges people might face, so like the bacteria in the water or like accessibility is in terms of how close they live to a water source. So what are some of the challenges that other parts of the world, you can group the United States in this too, have to accessing clean water? Also, how do the filters help address that?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, honestly, in the question. Contamination type and accessibility are the main challenges to people having access, sustainable access to clean water. In a lot of parts of the world, there's rainwater. In a lot of parts, we have projects. They have rainwater collection systems on corrugated metal roofs, and often birds poop on roofs. Cats climb on roofs. Bacterial contamination is a really common problem. And thankfully, it is fixable, one that's totally manageable with the filter. Additionally, as far as challenges go, folks can experience contamination in infrastructure. For example, in Egypt, they have plumbing that takes the water to their homes in Asayut, but the water is coming from the Nile, which is contaminated. And so the water coming out of the spigots is not clean. And so a couple of years ago, developed a tap filter that can go on spigots and faucets and just addressing that kind of need. But unfortunately, contamination and infrastructure can also mean things like heavy metals and more rarely, but things that we can address, which we're always very careful to make sure that we're testing the water before we go in and do a clean water project, because we want to make sure that we are going to make a difference and they don't have, you know, industrial runoff or, you know, heavy metal contamination or something, because that's a limitation of our technology and we want to make sure we're bringing people forward. So Sawyer is able to address, I'm going to get a little technical, but bear with me. So inside every Sawyer filter, whether it's the mini or the squeeze or the tap, they all have a hollow fiber membrane inside, which is a physical separation by size. No pore size inside of the filter is bigger than 0.1 absolute microns, which is a wild way of saying really, 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 really tiny. And it filters out bacteria, protozoa, cysts, and 100% of microplastics. And I believe it's 99.99999 of all of the other ones percent. Those are things that can be separated by size. The limitations of the technology are chemicals, heavy metals, and viruses. Fortunately, viruses aren't that common of a contamination in water, because viruses require a host to survive. It's just a hostile environment for a virus. The Sawyer filter is the most appropriate in places where the water source is contaminated with a bacterial contaminant.
Yeah, so there are areas in the United States that have contaminated water. So do you have any projects that you partner with in the United States or any areas you know that have limited access to drinking water?
Like I mentioned earlier, we have our disaster relief program, which we partner with places like Team Rubicon, Veterans Without Borders, American Red Cross. Last year in 2022, Hurricane Fiona hit Puerto Rico, and Team Rubicon was deployed, and they had Sawyer filters, like gravity filters, to send out in mass and distribute. I actually got to do an interview with Edith Garcia Figuera, who was one of the Team Rubicon members that was on that trip. And that was a very cool experience personally to be able to chat with her. But yeah, anywhere that there's a boil water notice, we're typically applicable. Sawyer filters can typically clean the water appropriately. There's a difference between boil water notice and do not consume. And so places where there is a boil water notice, Sawyer is very applicable. Places where it is do not consume, that's likely some kind of industrial runoff pesticide kind of thing that we're not appropriate for. But that's also important to know. There is a handful of First Nation tribes that have water trucked in, and that is the water source for the community. And it's not clean water. It's not as clean as it could be. And so providing Sawyer filters to those communities instills more confidence in the water, in addition to addressing any health outcomes that might come from bad water.
Yeah, that's interesting with the transporting water. I could see there being a lot of like potential contamination points, like when you're hauling it place to place.
It's like the rainwater catchments, like it's kind of analogous to the rainwater catchment systems around the world. You're right. There are so many places for the water to possibly get contaminated before somebody actually drinks it. So having a filter on the end user that they are physically using in front of them is a really good way to address that.
Sawyer is doing a lot in terms of like providing resources to these organizations to have better access to drinking water. But as an individual, so if there's like a singular person is listening to this podcast, are there ways that individuals can help support access to better drinking water?
Yeah, absolutely. World Water Day is on March 22nd, and it's this big campaign that the UN has every year. And this year, the theme is Water for Peace. And they have a bunch of resources that are free, both with information and activities for school groups, and they're all age appropriate, just about appreciating water and recognizing what it might mean if you didn't have access to clean water, and also like what it means to people abroad, or what it can mean to people. Cost savings, like health outcomes. Our diarrhea reduction rate is 90%. For communities that have these transformational filtration projects going on. So just giving some love to and learning about these communities that are working towards that UN sustainability goal number 6. And additionally, Sawyer has a foundation. Every dollar goes directly to these clean water projects, and every Sawyer product that you buy contributes to the clean water projects. We donate 90% of profits to this work. And Kurt is the owner. He's the one who kind of started everything back in the day. He wanted to build Sawyer to give it away. And he really does. He truly lives by that.
I love that so much of the profits are going to projects like this. That's something, even though I felt like I knew a lot about Sawyer products in general, I didn't know that they, I guess, like dedicated so much of their resources to these types of things. So if listeners want to learn more about Sawyer, maybe check out a filter or even learn more about the clean water projects and what you have going on there, how can they do that?
Yeah, sawyer.com/international is the best place to find all of our information on clean water for all. Sawyer.com/charities is a great place to go to kind of to see all of our charity partners that we work with. You can visit their websites and contact them directly if they're local to you. And sawyerfoundation.org is the foundation's website, which has some more information.
I'll be sure to include all of those resources in the show notes so people can find it easily. But with that, I guess, Katie, are there any other last things that you feel like we missed that maybe you want to share?
Just in the theme of, I know Friday is International Women's Day as we're recording this, and we are doing a highlight of our women-led charity partners, and I'd love to just talk about them for a minute. They're incredibly rad. We have Keo, Hora, and Okrani, which is based in the Marshall Islands, and this year they finished a program to get every single household in the Marshall Islands equipped with a Sawyer filter. They started with the most vulnerable of their population in the outer atolls of the outermost islands and worked their way into the capital, and the former president was the last one to get a filter, kind of poetically. An incredibly inspiring organization. Additionally, Water by Women, one of our first charity partner, is doing incredible work in Honduras. Folks can watch Miranda Webster's beautifully done video about that on YouTube. I think it's just called Miranda Goes to Honduras. And she kind of celebrates the 15-year mark. They have a big reunion of all of the water women in Honduras. All of these filters from 15 years ago that are still in people's homes too. They just got hooked up, or they're just now getting their name drawn for a training. It's very cool. And the Water Bearers is our other women-led, women-centered charity partner that does some very good work. So I just want to shout out them. Women are incredible. And the clean water crisis disproportionately affects women. Oftentimes it's seen as a like domestic duty responsibility. And so the lengths to walk, the danger they might face on those lengths, the impact on their education, impact on the income of the household. Very, very special to see like all of these women really creating like a solution together for their communities.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. The podcast will come out after Women's History Month, I guess, but we can celebrate women every day all year. So
love it.
We should definitely include those shout outs. And it's really interesting about how the access to clean water can impact so many different areas of people's lives and also different parts of society more broadly.
Yeah, absolutely. The impacts, I believe we have specific stats from different countries, but I believe Fiji, the implementation of the filters saves families $600 a year. And there was this one really touching story, I believe in Miranda's video, where she highlights this woman who, now that she has clean water, she made her own handmade tortilla business. And she has the best tortillas in town because she's making them with clean water. And so she has a line out the door, and now she's funding her child to go to college with her tortilla business because of the clean water. It's just, it's very, very cool how all of that is interconnected. This basic need really has a way of launching off for people.
Yeah, that's amazing. Clean water is a human right, so everyone should have access to it. But with that, I guess thank you, Katie, for taking the time to sit down and chat, educate us about the necessary work that Sawyer is doing to help all of the clean water partners.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. This is literally my dream job. And the clean water aspect, again, I had no real idea about until I joined Sawyer. And so it's been incredible, like personally jumping in and learning from all of these incredible people.
Thanks for listening. And if you like what you hear, let me know. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Instagram at outdoor.minimalist.book, on YouTube, or subscribe to our weekly newsletter at theoutdoorminimalist.com. For even more updates, other educational resources, and to help build an outdoor community with the shared goal to create a better outdoor space as we recreate.